Okay. It's good to be together. How many daily Bible readers do we have? Okay. I don't think it's quite 75%, but it's close. It's close. Let's make it 100. Let's keep going. Give it all we got. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Okay, so we've been looking at the city, and so we're discussing the foundation. So what I want somebody to do, is read 18 through 18 through 20 is good. So if you can brave those names, give it all you got.
And the building. I like that. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst.
Okay. One of the things that, as you look at these, and I've seen this before, and I'm not real sure on if that's exactly what it is, but notice how it says, the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. And so I'm assuming that there's many stones, but as you drop down into that, it says the ninth a topaz. And that may be a translation struggle, but I wonder if that's a solid stone of topaz, or in which it doesn't really matter so much, because look at verse 18. It says, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like what?
Clear glass.
Have you ever seen pure gold that was like clear glass? There's a one possibility, which is it could be, and maybe a high polish, maybe. And so if you ever dealt with coins, you've got coins that are graded different. And so there are special coins that are highly inspected and polished, and they're perfect. And so the polish on those coins makes them shine. Now, I don't know that that's exactly what it's talking about, but the thing is, this is not an earthly city. Because even if we highly polish gold, it's still yellow. But the city is made of gold. All right? The walls was of jasper. Okay, so I think we just need to see the preciousness and the value and the wealth of this city. Now, are we looking at physical wealth? I don't believe so. These are signs. It's written in signs, and so one thing represents another. But I think that God, in His wisdom, is giving us a sign of what heaven really is. It is out of this world. It's amazing.
I think He's trying to say it's magnificent.
It's magnificent. Okay, it's a good word to describe it. And if you know, He's putting it in earthly terms that we can understand. And so my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So that tells me a little bit about Him. He made all this world in which we live. I was reading an article on the gross output, and it's talking about the trillions of dollars. Okay, it's money, and that's all on this earth. And God made it all, and it's all His. And so He's going to destroy it. Does that tell you how much He's got? You know? It's about the, you know, it's one of those things that we need to see that this is a place, guys, that we really want to go. Okay? Is it worth making sacrifices to inherit such a city as that? Is it worth to do without for a little while to get that inheritance in time? I think it is. Is it worth making a few sacrifices and putting up with a few things that we don't like right now in order to be able to have such a grand inheritance when this life is over? I'll guarantee you it is. And so this is an amazing place. It's a place where there's no pain or sorrow. Because as it talks later on, we're going to find that there's nothing defiled going to enter this city. Okay? You go out into the community, and even among us, do we not have our faults? You know, and the struggles, and it's easy for problems to happen because we're imperfect. Okay? In the spirit, a little different situation. I believe that the temptation, Satan, and the temptations will be gone. We'll be in the spiritual realm. And so it's going to be an amazing place. But that's why we as the church, we need to live it here. Because if we're not living it here, we're not going to make it there. Put down your desires and inhibitions. Put down your haughty attitudes where you don't give in to God and His will. And just live for God now. And that's what we need to make sure that we do. Because it is a grand, magnificent place. Okay, somebody read verse 21.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass.
Okay, so...
that was a big pearl.
Yes, they're big pearls. You know, of course, God made the oyster and the sand that starts the pearl. And so God can make a pearl the size of the earth if He desires. And so so the cities, the gates were just a solid pearl. That's hard to imagine. You know, pearls are a very sought after substance. I want us to note here, and this is, I made some introductory comments of it last week, but I want to look at it some more. It's interesting that this city is spoken of as having one street. This street, this one street, is pure gold. And notice it has the same consistency or the same appearance as the verse 18. This one is... as it were, transparent glass. What's transparent glass? You can see through it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so in verse 18 that we looked at, the city was of pure gold like to clear glass. Right? But the thing is Jesus says that there is only one street in this city.
That's the only word in the traffic jams.
What am I going to do with her?
That's right. I had to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is only one gate. Okay. Go to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Somebody read that.
Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go into thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Okay, straight is the what?
Gate.
How many gates?
One.
One gate. Now, straight just simply means restricted. Okay. And so what would that be alluding to when you look at the Christian life?
There's only one way.
What else? I mean, if it says it's straight or restricted and narrow, what does that mean?
Tight.
It's tight? And how would we relate to that, though? I mean, how do we relate to that? How do we make sense of that? Restricted and narrow gate. Restricted gate, narrow way.
Well, right and broad, anybody can get into destruction, but it takes some effort to get into the narrow gate.
Okay, takes some effort. All right.
Considerable effort.
You better follow God's way.
You got to follow God's way. Okay. And so, you know, this there's one street in heaven. Okay. Guys, there's only one way to get, only one gate to get there. And the path, once you go through that gate, is also narrow. Straight is the gate, restricted is the gate, narrow is the way. We need to just follow the Lord. It'll bless our life and it'll help us to go forward. What about John 14 and verse 6? John 14 and verse 6.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Jesus is the what?
The way.
The way. What's that mean? Numerous ways?
Only one.
I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. That those are all singular. Okay, and so, you know, we can't pick and choose the direction that we want to go. We've got to follow the way that Jesus has given us. And so we got to look at the words that he put in there. We got to look at the Bible and follow it. I see gross ignorance to God's word in the world around us. And they're saying, wow, I never saw that before. Mm-hmm. And so, you know.
Well, it's so important that we get the word out, because people think they're going to follow Muhammad or Buddha or Joseph Smith or John Calvin or John Wesley.
Or Mooney.
And they're not going to get there by following some man. They're right. Not going to get there.
And the thing is, I mean, we can say we're following Christ, but if we don't do it his way, are we following Christ?
No.
Okay, so we've got to be very careful of that. Jesus said he is the way, and it's his way. Let's go to Matthew 16 and verse 18. Verse 18, Matthew 16 and verse 18.
I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Okay, how many churches did Jesus say he would build?
One.
Prove it.
My
church. Church, singular. Okay. And so, Jesus didn't promise to build a whole bunch of different ones. He said, "He said you need to be united." They were dividing in the city of Corinth, and he told them that's not acceptable. We can't do that. We got to stay united on what God says and go forward. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's really start in verse 1 and go down through verse 6. I think it would be because verses 1, 2, and 3 are important to understand as we consider verses 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, Ephesians what?
Ephesians 4, 1 through 6.
Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God,
and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all.
Okay, notice here he begins by saying, walk worthy of the Lord. You need to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You need to be living for the Lord, the way he says. You need to keep it together as the body of Christ. Okay? And he continues with the seven ones. How many ones are... what are those ones?
Body, Spirit, hope, faith, Lord, faith, baptism, and God.
Right. Okay? So there's one Lord. Who's that?
Jesus.
Christ. Okay. One body. Back up a verse. One body. What's the body?
Church.
It's a church. Remember Ephesians 1, 22 and 23? And hath made him to be head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, so there's one body. One spirit. What's that?
Holy Spirit.
I believe that's the Holy Spirit in that context. That would fit there. There's one hope. You mean there's not numerous hopes? Can I just choose what I really like and go the direction I want to go? That doesn't work with the rest of it. There's one Lord, which is
Christ.
There's one faith. Okay, what is the faith? What's the one faith?
The system of beliefs.
It's the system of beliefs. You know, we can't pick and choose a different system if we don't like one thing that God says. Well, let's just change it and do, you know, that doesn't work. He condemned the Nadab and Abihu for that. He condemned the Pharisees for that. And we also must understand it's got to be his way. There's one baptism. There's seven of them in the New Testament. So what's he mean, one baptism?
There's one that'll get you to heaven and not...
Yeah, there's one that'll get you to heaven.
Yeah.
And that's what Billy saw last week. And so there's one to get you to heaven. There's one God and Father of all. There's only one. You know? Don't look for another. Right? Because there is no other. He is above all and through all and in you all. And so the seven ones. Well, that one street in heaven. Okay? As we go through the New Testament, we see that there are numerous ones, and that should help us to understand and see a little bit about that. And notice that the one street was pure gold. It's precious. Precious. Okay, verse 22 and 23. Back in Revelation 21, I'm sorry. I always do that.
I mean, I know I'm there.
And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is
the
light thereof.
Okay. So, what's the temple in heaven?
God and Jesus?
Right. God and Christ are the temple in heaven. What was the temple in the Old Testament?
An actual
physical structure. What's the temple in the New Testament?
Jesus.
Oh,
it's
our body.
Oh.
Okay. Ye, Christians, are the temple of God.
I think we should go there. Hebrews, what is it?
It's 1 Corinthians, I think.
Oh, that's 10. Hebrews 10. Temple of the Holy Spirit.
1 Corinthians 6, 19.
I'll see there, I was right.
Well, it's the first time for you.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 10, or 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20.
What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you,
which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Okay, so the temple is the dwelling place of God, and on earth, God is to dwell in us. Now, does that put any responsibilities on us? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can God dwell in that which is defiled? And so, you know, we need to make sure that we're living as God says. Because that's the emphasis within the New Testament. How are we living? Are we doing what God says? You know? That is so predominant within the New Testament. That's the whole thing. Live it. Give it all you've got. And of course, you know, and this is why people, they want to study Revelation. Well, when we look at Revelation the way it says, it's actually saying, stick with God. Follow what He says. That's the whole thing about Revelation. And when you look at those signs, what do they allude to? They allude to teaching you and me to follow God, what He says, and what the pages of the New Testament teach. I mean, that's the overall theme of the book of Revelation. And so we need to keep that in mind as we try to live for God. And I want to go to John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Now this is dealing with verse 23.
Which chapter did you take?
Revelation 21, or no, John 1, 8 through 10. I switched Bibles, so I got confused. John 1, verses 8 through 10. And notice what John says about Jesus.
He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him.
Okay, so notice here, what he's saying is that they came to John asking him a question, and John is not the light. Okay, John came to bear witness of the light, and that light was Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ, he came into the world to give light to every man. All right, and that was his job. And so he was in the world, and while he was here, Jesus was the light while he was here. Now, what do we have left? I know, I probably didn't say it right, but
no,
go ahead.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Well, what do we have today?
The sun and moon and
the Bible. We've got His Word. Jesus spoke His Word and He left it for us. So we've still got that light. You know, Jesus told them to believe on me while I'm here. You know, they had Him. They saw Him. Blessed are those that have seen, but blessed are those that shall hear and haven't seen will believe. Okay, in that last part of John. We've got to remember that we still have that light, and it's the pages of the New Testament. We're going to have to come to Jesus. Kathy?
In 6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Was that John for that?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. and so as we go down, let me see. Because as you read this context, you'll see. I don't remember if it says, read verse 29.
Next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Yeah. And so as you read down through it, I'm trying to look for a clearer way to see it. But part of this, and one of the things about studying the Bible, is a lot of times we have to put other passages together. There's Old Testament passages have to do with this. There's New Testament passages that refer to John. Jesus talked about him. And so there's just a lot of things that put together there to make sure that we know and we understand what's going on. Okay, so I think that we're going to stop there because we're going to get into a new deal here as we move forward. So.